May the blessing of Almighty Yahweh, that eternal blessing, rest upon everyone at this hour and at this time. You're listening to Brother Stair. It is one of those days again. Seems like every day is becoming more and more of a fight. What I'm trying to say is that I believe, and I am convinced, and I am persuaded that we are moving very quickly, looking almost daily and diligently for that appearing or revelation of the time that's going to end this age. Now, I do know, and nobody's got to come at me about it and tell me that, it's been talked about. We understand that the number one affront to any preacher, prophet, priest, or pastor, or any man of God who talks about the end of the age is going to be inundated with the mockers. I think it was the Apostle Peter who made it very, very clear when he said, "This know also in the last days, mockers will come." Scoffers, said Jude, and he said that they would mock and they would scoff because they're walking after their own lust. There's not too many people to understand that. That's the reason why you can quote it and they'll just go right ahead and do it anyway, because they just don't understand it. The reason why they're mocking and the reason why they're scoffing is because they have things of this life that they want more than they want the coming of Christ. So the best way they can justify what they're doing is to mock anyone who tells them that Christ is coming. Mockers, walking after their own lust. And what will they say? Well, they will say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Now, that is an interesting question. And most people, if you try to give them the answer, they won't receive it. Where is the promise of his coming? Now, he promised. He promised that it would be several things that would be done in order to alert or prepare or to even help his people to endure this time we're in of great affliction. He said, "You will see all these signs take place." And then he said, one of the things that I was listening to it again this morning as I was quoting it, when he says, "You should be betrayed." No matter how many times I read that, no matter how many times I look at it or even hear it, I don't mind telling you that I do have a very, very difficult time in my humanity to understand how that could be. You shall be betrayed, both by parents, by brethren, by kinfolk and friends. Well, I preached it for years, but never, I never really had any comprehension of what it was like until back when the Lord pulled the plug out from underneath me and allowed me to fall into some degradation and iniquity and sin. And then I found how quickly those who call themselves my friends and brothers betrayed me and just betrayed the cause. Not so much betrayed me, but they betrayed the cause. And you see, that's another thing that's been going through my heart and mind today. The cause. "For this cause," Paul said, "I surrender everything. I give up everything." Is there not a cause, David said, when he came out there and faced Goliath and all of Israel was cowering in defeat and uncertainty, and even King Saul, he didn't know what to do as they were being challenged every day by this, as David called him, uncircumcised Philistine. And his brothers, when David inquired about what was going on and they told him about this giant Goliath, how he was challenging Israel, David says, "Well, what is going to happen? Is anybody going to take him on?" And of course, his older brothers wouldn't, and even King Saul would not take on Goliath. You all know the story. I think you do anyway. We've heard the scripture so many times preached as a fable that even though we've heard the story, we don't hear the story. We don't hear the truth. I was just thinking a few moments ago about sitting here throughout this day and meditating on what I should talk about or preach about or proclaim on the radio. And just a few moments ago, I was overwhelmed with the Spirit of God telling me, just go in there and start talking about some of the things that God has revealed to you. And what brought that to mind was the question that I asked the other day, and it's been asked several times in a broadcast throughout the day, is what did Jesus do with the 12 baskets of food that was left over when he fed the multitude of 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Now, you see, I've often said this. The Bible is a notebook. It's an outline. And as you read many of the accounts and things in there, you're just getting the high points. There has to be an opening up of the scriptures. I believe it was John who said it like this. And who fathoms that? When John, let me see if I can just find that where John said that. I'm pretty sure it's right towards the end of the book of John. But I better just take a few moments here, a second or two while I'm talking to you, and just turn over there and reaffirm what I'm getting ready to say here. The book of St. John, the Gospel, according to St. John. And here's what it says. And in verse 24 of the last chapter, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things. Now, if we'll go back to verse number 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, this was an answer to Peter, who was inquiring about a statement that Jesus had made about John. And they thought that Jesus said that John would not die. And so Jesus said unto him in verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. You do what I tell you to do. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren. Boy, isn't that something, how they start talking, trying to reason out, and that this disciple, John, should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. That's not what he said. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Why should that be a problem to you if it's my will? And then John in verse 24 says this. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. John talking about himself. And verse 25, and there are also many other things. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. come on, huh? You folk fathom that? What's he talking about? That Jesus did so many things that if everything was written in a book, there wouldn't be enough space in the world to hold the books. Revelation, huh? Can it be revealed what he's talking about? Sure, he's talking about from the beginning of time. You know, Jesus was in the beginning, and he was the Word of God. And he did everything by speaking. He would say, and then he would do. He would say, and then he would do. And the scripture says everything is upheld or substantiated or established by the Word of God. And you think you can, as you search around at the magnitude of the heavens and the magnificent parts of the human body and the intricate thinking of the human mind and how many books have been written on all of these things, and they still haven't touched the surface of the magnitude of the mighty workings of God. That makes me think about the song sung by Mahalia Jackson, "O Lord My God, when I in awesome wonder," of course others have sang it too, "O Lord My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds, all the things that thou hast made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, I see the sun, the mountains, the valley. This world made by the very word of God, upheld by his power." I often think about these things as you watch it. Men think they're doing something miraculously. I remember the story that was told by Brother Brenham in his simplicity. He was preaching over in India. And of course, India, you know, has its wise men and its religious leaders and its gurus and what have you. And they were questioning Brother Brenham because, you know, in India, the Hindu religion, they have many, many gods. They make a god out of everything and anything in order to make sure they're honoring God. And then the Buddhists, they come up with how many millions of little bald-headed, tubby Buddhists, and they worship that. And then we have the Confucius, and I don't know exactly what they worship. I guess they worship Shintoism. They worship the emperor. And this is something that goes on and on throughout the year, because man by nature knew there was a God, knew there was a God. It's only when they turned away from that one God, knowing that there had to be a God, they begin to make gods of their own. And so it is. And so today we have a Babylon of gods. I was listening last night to a little cut that someone sent me about Miss Opry. You know, she's opened up her own church. And she was out, somebody was asking her, and I heard her say it. I heard her say it. Somebody was asking her if she believed that Jesus died on the cross for mankind. She said, "Jesus didn't come to die on the cross. That's no value to that." Isn't that something? I mean, here's a woman who says she believes in Jesus, she's a Christian, and then she denies the efficacy of the cross. Paul said, "The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness." Well, that's what Miss Opry did. She called the preaching of the cross foolishness. She said, "Jesus didn't come to die on the cross for my sins. He just came to show us how we should live among each other." What a lying hypocrite, huh? She's a multi-billionaire. Did she learn how to live from Jesus as she said she should? I mean, though he was rich, he became poor. Well, she's rich. Is she going to follow his example and become poor and distribute that wealth to the poor, even of her own race or what have you? And I think it was another question was asked to Billy Graham just some time ago. And they asked Billy Graham, you know, you just to preach Jesus is the only way, and to hold fast to the truth of the gospel today, you are going to be hated. And if you want to be accepted by anyone in politics or religion or in the social structure, you better include all men as equal, and everybody's good and nobody's bad, and God's going to save us all, the brotherhood of, he's the God of all men, and he's the father of us all. You better hang into that, because if you preach the word of Jesus Christ, you are going to be hated. Billy Graham, after many, many years of being one of the number one gospel so-called preachers, of course, he watered that down, huh? All you got to do is walk down an aisle and make a decision. That's all you got to do. And then you become a Christian. And that's the kind of Christians we have produced until today. You better not even use the word Christian. It's been blasphemed because of Christians. That's right. Then someone asked Billy Graham a few years ago, was Jesus Christ the only way to have it? And Billy Graham hinged. He hinged on it. Well, he said, no, I believe others have found a way to God. You know, implying that you could be a Muslim and you pray to your Allah, or you could be a Buddhist and you bow down and pray to your Buddha, or you could be a Roman Catholic and bow down and pray to your saints, or to your Mother Mary, or kiss the Pope's rope, or whatever. Or you could be a Hindu and make a god out of the cow and the cow manure and what and the junk. Oh yeah, and yes, sir. Or you could be a stargazer and make a god. And any one of these ways will make you conscious of God, and by that you'll come to know God. Well, we're living in a world that doesn't know God. That's all there's to it. And we who do know God are being challenged dramatically, because if we don't get our soul and our heart right with God so we can believe in God from the heart and not be moved away by all the fantasies of this day. Yeah, the fool. This is a foolish generation. And the fool says, no God, no God. That's right. And so the message that Jesus brought to us today is not being accepted. They turn him into a Santa Claus or an Easter Bunny Jesus. A fellow said to me the other day, I could not believe when I heard you say that Christmas was not a Christian holiday. And I can't hardly believe that most of you people out there who call yourself Christian believe that it is. And you actually participate in it. A brother called me from over there in Puerto Rico and said, can you tell me in the scripture where it talks about cutting down the tree? And the doing like the heathen do. Well, I don't remember the exact place in Jeremiah, but that's where it's at. And it would do you good just to get your old concordance out and look up about learn not the way of the heathen and find it for yourself. And then maybe you'll see how profound it is. Yeah, it says learn not the way of the heathen. And then it goes on and tells you one of the things that the heathen do. It says they go into a forest, they cut down a tree, they bring it into their house, they deck it out with tinsels and little shiny things, they nail it to the floor, and they worship around the tree. What a more precise, clear description of what so-called Christendom does, and even the world, with the Christmas tree. And the Bible says that is a way of people who don't know God. So all you people that honor Christmas, you don't know Christ. You don't know that. You deny what you're doing. Well, that's another one of those subjects. That's just your opinion, Brother Stair. I believe God honors us when we bring little Christmas presents out. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Mock God on. Just mock him. Christmas is a lie. Jesus was not born on December 25th. You understand that? So say that this is a day that honors his birth is a lie. And God has no part in a lie. And there is no lie in the truth. So Jesus is truth. And he has no part. And any one of you who receive God and Christ and the Spirit of Truth, you too will turn away from that lie or any other lie, like Sunday being the Sabbath. That's right. Sunday is the first day of the week. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. And that's never changed from the beginning of time. And God wants us to remember it and remember what the Sabbath represents, because it is to give us hope, the rest of God, when it's all finished and done and the kingdom comes. Well, I'm just sitting here because I felt in my spirit, if I use the word feel, I don't mean I have an emotional tugging. I just simply mean I have a consciousness of what the Spirit of God in me wants me to do. And as I was meditating, he said, just talk about some of the revelations. You see, because the Bible tells us that the Lord God will do nothing and without first revealing his secrets. Now, the Bible, to many, without God, without the truth of God, is a secret. They can't figure it out. You know, like the story of you must be born again, Nicodemus, he couldn't figure that out. How can these things be? You remember the story of the virgin birth? When the angel spoke to Mary and she says, how can that be? I don't know, man. Remember the story of Abraham when God appeared to him and said, your wife is going to conceive and she's going to have a son? And Sarah laughed, and even Abraham laughed because they were past age of bearing children. And that is unique, isn't it? Because they were just around 100 years old, and people lived in those days several hundred years old. You mean to tell me that the time to bear children in their lives way back there ended by the time they were 100? So those people that lived over 100, when did they have their children? Oh, that's another one of those mysterious things, huh? Or how God's dealing with Jacob, who was a usurper. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Who understands that? Or the predetermined. See, these are secrets that God has hid from the wise and the prudent, and then he reveals them unto babes. Simple little revelations. And that's how the people of God are strengthened today, by the revelation of God. Hallelujah. That great book, the Bible, huh? It closes out with the revelation. As God gave John a revelation of all the preceding generation before him from the beginning of time until the ending of time, which is going to take place. Are you listening? I'm going to reveal it to you now at the end of this 1,000 years that we are about to embark on. That's right. The kingdom of heaven is going to be here on earth. And Jesus, the King, is going to rule here on earth. He won't be voted in. He won't be a dictator. He will be a glorious King. Hallelujah. Who loves his people, and his people will love him. And he will reign on this earth. And the Bible tells us, can you believe this? That the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. That the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. I had a chuckle this morning because there's been a news item of a 52-year-old man who was found standing alongside an interstate in Ohio. I think it's the Columbus, Ohio area. Been there for quite a while. And the other day when a news reporter was out and couldn't find any story, he decided he would talk to this fella. And the 52-year man, he had a sign that he was asking for someone to, give him a little money or a little food because he was homeless. He had fathered 7 children. Or 9 children, I guess it was 7. I think it was 7 or 9. But he's homeless. He's out there. His family, God knows where they're at. And, of course, we hear a little bit more about it since the end. But what I was trying to say was he was talking about a voice that he had. And he has one. He has a radio voice. And this morning they had him on the Today Show. And he was just excited. Of course, he's talking about thanking God. And he seemed like a very gentle spirit. And he actually talked about having an experience with God, but because he was on the Today Show, he had to be careful. He didn't let it slip. He did say the name Jesus one time, and they quickly tried to cover him for it because that's not allowed anymore. You don't talk about Jesus on television and especially in the news or when you're presenting something to the general population. You can talk about anybody and anything and everything, but don't talk about Jesus. And so the young man, he tried to change his approach because it sort of throttled him a little bit, but he kept talking about how he wanted to acknowledge God and everything. Well, you can say the word God now because everybody has a God, but don't mention Jesus. And that's where, right back to what we're talking about when they asked Billy Graham, is there any other way, or can you get to heaven or to God any other way? And he said, yeah, there's other ways. Making God a liar. Did you know that the Bible says that he that believeth not the record that God gave of his Son hath made God a liar? When you tell anybody that there are other ways to get to God the Father, you're lying on God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by me. And he says, no one will receive anything from God except the Father give it to him. Wow. Boy, that's narrow, isn't it? That's exactly what the book says. The book says straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. Many are called, but just a few are being chosen. Are you one today? Is the Spirit of God drawing you? Are you at this seemingly inopportune time of this day being drawn to listen, to hear? For the Lord God will do nothing. Well, that's what he done with this prophet.